You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique LeRae. I'm Monique LeRae, back with you for episode 162. I had to check my paper. I cannot believe we're almost to 200 episodes, you guys. This has been just, I'm just blown away with our tenacity on this show. The little podcast that could, I always call it that. And enjoying my conversation behind the scenes with Sam. Welcome to the show, guys. As you can see, I've made it to the new home office. I am so happy to be here. We've got high-speed internet. We're working on lighting. We're going to build it out and make it look really cool, clean and neat. And really cool. So I just want to extend gratitude to the listeners and viewers and Sam and everybody who's helped me, family, friends, and people who support the channel, sponsors, for hanging in with my transition here to this new space. And hey, you know, I thought moving got funner. I don't know where I got that from. It definitely does not, especially when you have a lot of responsibilities, as you everyone knows. So, yeah, so I don't plan to be moving much more in my life. Maybe one bigger move, and we'll sit there for a while. But for now, this is home, and we're coming to you live from Laguna Beach. I wanted to start the show off by saying I had a really amazing session at school yesterday. As some of you may know, I'm doing my MBA program at Pepperdine. I'm very honored to be there and be one of the few at Graziario. Graziario. I might be saying it wrong, but we'll get it better. It's an Italian word for business school. And, you know, I had a really great session with one of our professors learning about finance and accounting. And I'm just kind of doing this off the cuff. This is one of the books we were supposed to read in class. I hope I'm not breaking any rules by sharing this. But Financial Intelligence. The authors are Karen Berman and Joe McKnight with John Chase. So there's some features there by some other people, but this is a manager's guide to knowing what the numbers really mean. And I, coming from reality, courtroom, game show, docufollow, unscripted world, and having limited knowledge about these things, that's what an executive education gives you. But I got a little glimpse on what people see when they look at numbers in the accounting world. And it's really helpful when you're a startup business and you're looking to get a bank loan. You need to apply and you need to go by the rules, play by the game. So knowing what they're looking for, knowing what data they're seeing in your numbers and your income is very important, because it puts you in a position where you can control the narrative and get approved, right? I mean, of course you want it to be on the up and up, but thank you for the tools, guys. But I'm going to give you guys the tools I'm getting, as long as I'm not breaking any rules. And I don't think I am by sharing this book. I can't give you all the insights in the class, of course. But shout out to my cohort 137 and all the professors and everybody that, you know, makes it possible for me to be there. Thank you so much for everything. All right. So what else? We have a big show today. I'm hoping, you know, the weather is so beautiful outside. I feel like maybe people, you know, it is a Sunday show, right? I always push my work week a day earlier so I can get in the zone. I don't know. I guess maybe it got stuck in my head somewhere when I was younger that Sunday is the first day of the week, the first work week. But then you've got other things in your world that say Sunday is the day to rest, right? So a lot of people are on that as well, and I have to respect that. But pardon the glare. Like I said, this is our whole new home office space. And we're going to make it cozy, put the logos up, get the lighting together. But we just got our beautiful Wi-Fi here, and all the stuff is coming in boxes this week. So, you know, I wanted to make sure this was the spot and get it kind of stabilized. And thank you guys for bearing with me in that transitional time moving here. I will say that the market here in Laguna is quite competitive, even if you're just renting. So I'm really grateful for the place that I found. I'm very happy. I'm very close to the water. I've got more space. I know how blessed I am to be here. So I'm grateful. And I want to, while we're doing that, let's just be grateful for our sponsors. Thank you so much to Michael Solberg Family Wines, Leah Solberg, continuing her success in wine. Happy harvest, Leah, and everybody at Michael Solberg Family Wines. You know, if you want to do a custom label, or if you're looking to do something special for this holiday season, or maybe for a holiday party, you know, doing a custom label could kind of be nice, you know, on wine. I think it's a beautiful, classy gift. Not everybody drinks. You can definitely, you know, offer a sparkling option that's alcohol free. But for the drinkers, Michael Solberg Family Wines is, you know, over two and a half, almost three, I think it's over three decades now, going into the third generation of just great wine that pairs with well with anything. So cheers to Leah Solberg, Michael Solberg Family Wines. I have just a little splash left. Yeah, they make great wines, and she can do a custom label for your holiday party, your executive party. If you just want to do like a family label, she can do that as well. So www.michaelsolbergfamilywines.com. And I also want to give a shout out to La Casa del Camino here in Laguna Beach. If you're looking for a staycation and you are in the Southern California area, we are right, when I say we, I mean Laguna, we are right smack dab in between LA and San Diego. So if you want to get to LA, great. Go to LA and on your way back, come down, you know, towards San Diego, but stop in Laguna. If you're coming from vice versa, you can go either way and wind up in a very beautiful place. Lots of art, lots of culture. And it's not, it is in California's French Riviera, as they call it, the Riviera here, but everything's beautiful, but it's a little more down to earth, right? You might see some vibes of Orange County and it be, you know, rich, right? Beautiful, classy. But yes, Laguna is a little taste of that balance where you're going to get art and water and all the beautiful things as well. So wonderful, wonderful. And of course, I want to say, you know, a big shout out to La Casa del Camino, who is the hotel there. So if you need a staycation, La Casa del Camino, thank you so much for your continued support. And of course, Next Level Global Solutions, Shane Hyman, he's doing some amazing things in the finance space, online, IPOs, building wealth from the ground up. Check him out at Next Level Global Solutions. All right, without further ado, I think we have our first guest. Talia, how's it going? Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you as well. Everything's going good. It's a little chilly in Atlanta, but we're good.
Okay, good. Well, you look amazing. Thank you for coming on a Sunday and carving out time to join us on the Startup. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell people who you are and what your brand is?
Okay, so my name is Talia Castanine. I am 42 years old from Brunswick, Georgia, living in Atlanta. I am the founder of Say No to Silicone Injections, being a trans woman that basically educates other trans people on how to transition the proper way in a healthy way without the use of back market or back alley procedures. Mm-hmm. I'm also a Beagle Life host in the U.S., which I became the Beagle Big Star Search competition grand prize winner. I'm a creative makeup artist that promotes a lot of different cosmetic brands. And I'm a husky mother of three Siberian huskies that cleans up dog fur every day, but it's not in my hair.
Well, you're keeping the glam away from the hair, that's for sure. And correction, Talia, and I want to pronounce that correctly. You sound like a busy gal. I mean, congratulations on winning Beagle. They're making a lot of moves. We had someone else on here that was quite phenomenal. What do you want to share about that win? How did that feel for you?
That win was absolutely phenomenal because I was going against a lot of people that were already really established on the app. I have been on the app for a little while, but I've never been into the want to be in the spotlight type position. So I didn't know if I had the support. But Beagle showed me that their competitions are fair and not biased in any type of way, and that the votes actually do mean the votes. And it was a very movable thing because my mother was there to watch the competition live, She was being very supportive, sending gifts. I had all of my friends and family members there as well. And my biggest thing has always been solidarity. And that's one of the things that I really received from Bigo.
I love this. Sam, by the way, as you know, I was talking to him earlier. He's our station owner and producer. So Sam, when you see the next guest come on, of course, you're going to alert me. But I want to go a little longer with you today, because let's just get into it. You are a trans woman in the South these days, moving and shaking, making big things happen, winning Bigo. You know, you've got these brands going. You're finally, I believe people are listening, right? Some people are listening to what the message is. What do you want to share with startup, with entrepreneurs that might come from the community you come from with those extra challenges on top, right? Because we've got the startup challenges already.
Right.
But there's other things culturally and systemically that affect people. What words of wisdom or little, you know, pearls of wisdom would you like to give them? And hang on one second, guys. We've got a little technical thing. While we're waiting for Talia to return, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all your platforms, LinkedIn included. I think we're live streaming right now on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, which congratulations, Sam. Sam did that. You know, he really has been pushing the channel and making this thing grow. All right. So hello, Tamika. We've got a new guest.
Hi. I'm actually earlier than I'm supposed to be. I'm sorry.
Hi, Tamika. How are you? Say hi to LA Talk Radio. Welcome.
Hello.
All right. Well, beautiful to see that smile. And why don't you introduce yourself? We had a little technical difficulty with the first guest. So why don't we just introduce you now?
Oh, my goodness. My name is Tamika Thomas. How are you?
Well, nice to meet you, Tamika. And how are you?
I'm very good right now. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to shift here and jump in with Tamika. She's got some cool things going on. Welcome to LA Talk Radio, Tamika. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about your brand, and we will get Talia back in just a moment.
I could come in at 6:30, but...
Okay. Well, you want to come back and say hi to us?
Yes, I shall come back.
Okay. We'll see you in a moment. Guys, we have so much fun here on LA Talk. All right. Talia was going to answer our question. Welcome back.
So sorry.
It's internet.
At home.
It always happens, and it's not your fault. It happens on the big networks too. So.
No. To your question earlier, it's all about your motivation and your drive, and you just can't lose vision of that. Mm-hmm. Adversities is something that happens, but one thing I learned in advocacy, which also applies to starting your own business, being an entrepreneur, is that you have to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And being comfortable in those uncomfortable positions allows you to understand that it's not going to be easy. You know, me being a trans woman, walking outside of my front door is uncomfortable, especially being in the Bible Belt South. It's definitely uncomfortable. But at the same time, is that when you start to become comfortable in that uncomfortable position, you start to walk around like you're with confidence. And people respect that because they have no choice but to, because they know that they can't do anything to stop you. So right. When it comes to any type of even living in your authenticity or starting a business, make sure that you know that you mean it and you walk in it and everything will be fine.
You simplified it so beautifully, right? And I know behind those statements, there's been challenges, right, that we can discuss here and there. But what you just said was so simple, but when you're really in it, and I'm just a, you know, regular straight lady, but I'm very LGBTQ friendly, and I love, you know, that community, and they've been lovely to me. And so I rock with them all day. And I think all of us need equal rights. So as a woman as well, you know, I see some things, but you simplified it so beautifully. It leads me to believe that it really is true, right? It can be that simple. Mm-hmm. Why do you think we don't think it's that simple?
Well, okay. So I'll break it down in another way.
Yeah.
Another saying that I learned in advocacy was that even an advocate needs an advocate. You need a support system. You need people that are going to push you. You know, even when it comes to my makeup, for instance, I have friends that will say, Talia, wash that off. It don't look good. Why are your eyebrows so high right there? Like, I have friends that are willing to tell me, like they're really to hurt my feelings. I like sometimes just,
right. You're like, I appreciate the honesty, but you're going a little too far, man. I do have feelings under here. I know I'm Superwoman.
Right. It's like, girl, can you kind of back up a little bit? Because I'm about to have a whole anxiety attack. But you have to have that, how they say, the amen corner. You know, that'll praise you when you're right, but also will chastise you when you're wrong. And that support is valuable. It's priceless. And you have to look for that. The people who are always going to be on your side and say, oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah, that's great. I look for the ones who are going to say, oh, yeah, that's great. But also, Talia, but it could be better if.
Very good. I love that you landed there with that point, because I was just reviewing through this move and moving in this space and just kind of touching at the top of the hour how competitive the market is to be here in my location and other places too. There was only a few people that I really was trying to listen to in that time, right? That when you're changing things and transitioning, moving and shifting, and the real ones are telling you like it is, they're so invaluable. You see these people that make it to a level and they've got yes people around them. I think that's what you're referring to. Yes people telling you just what you want to hear because they want to be along for the ride. They want a piece of the pie, and that's fine. But you really need your core amen team, your ride or dies to tell you, hey, that's not great. Those are the building blocks. So what I'm hearing you say is, you know, a solid team behind you, be clear on your vision, and it comes off as confidence. Confidence can be effective. I think it can actually draw some attention to your brand. Do you want to talk to us about how you went to the next level with that confidence with your brand?
I had to be humbled. I had to be humbled, and I had to be transparent. And at the same time, I had to understand that we cannot have unrealistic expectations and that everything starts from somewhere. Mm. Was I born from my mother looking like this? No. I started somewhere. Yeah. And it took a lot for me to get to where I'm at. And I think a lot of people think that there's an elevator to success, but technically speaking, you must take the stairs.
Oh. Multiple times.
Multiple times. And you might trip and fall down them a couple times.
And stumble, right. You might lose your wig on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good. You know, what's next for your brand? Let's do some plugging right now. Tell us what you're excited about the final quarter of 2023 and where you're going for 2024.
Well, actually, with the makeup that I've been doing, I started out doing a lot of glam, and then all of a sudden I realized I like prosthetics.
Oh.
I want to switch up and do way more prosthetics. I want to possibly go to, because I'm actually self-taught, which was another important thing for me. I won a competition doing makeup, and I learned by myself.
That's amazing.
I want to go to school and possibly learn how to do really real costume stuff, movie type things, and do it the right way. You know, I've already transformed my body into the female gremlin, a whole Versace photo. But I think it's so much more. And I think one of the things that stops us in life is not unlocking your potential. Yeah. And I know there's more for me. I just want to see where it's going without having those unrealistic expectations.
Right.
And just roll with the punches.
Smart, very emotionally intelligent to say that, Talia, about having those checked, those expectations, and also the expectations of people around us, right? As entrepreneurs, I had to realize, Monique, not all your friends move the way you do. Not everybody's going to be thinking the way that you do. You have to, you know, check those expectations. I really love that you said that. And when you talk about the prosthetics, it gets me excited because shout out to Jackie Pittman. She did Face Off. I don't know if you know Face Off.
I have watched the Face Off. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's some talent there. I can see you doing it. I'm excited. It's going to be Halloween. Can we do a spoiler alert? What are you going to be for Halloween? Are you using prosthetics this year?
I actually bought a lot of prosthetics. I'm going to be turning myself into a sphinx.
Oh, the purge!
I'm gonna be doing that. I'm actually going to be doing an Egyptian queen. I'm doing Cleopatra tomorrow. So I'm going to do a whole reel where I'm just dressed up as the glamorous Cleopatra. And then something crazy happens during the reel. And then I'm just dead. Because, I mean, Cleopatra's not alive. So we're going to keep it realistic, right?
Right.
So we're going to be doing the mummified Cleopatra with the gore, the turquoise jewelry, the mummy wrapping. I have a... have my little staff right here. I just got it in the mail already. I have her.
That looks so authentic. Yes.
Because the thing is, even the question you asked earlier about being an entrepreneur, doing makeup and doing PR, there's a lot of glam girls out there and guys.
Yeah.
But who's doing something different than everyone else? You have to mix it up and bring your personality and your creativity to the forefront, and not just your skill. So I try to do everything that people don't imagine me doing. Even if I have to, more than likely, lip sync a song while I'm even doing the makeup. Just because
And you should. Yeah. And don't put me in the box yet. I'm not dead yet. You don't get to put me in the box. I like that you're really stepping in the moment with all the tools we have with, makeup and editing and the platforms. And you're showing people how you want them to see you. Smart move. Didn't Missy Elliott do that when they told her she didn't fit the way that the industry wanted her to look? And she said, okay, well, I'm just going to go all the way in. I remember some of her videos back in the 90s, Missy Elliott just leaned into that. So I love your mental about this. I think your attitude's amazing towards this. And I think we're going to see you somewhere really exciting soon. I get that feeling about you. Come back. I want you to come back and check in sometime. Will you come back?
Of course. I love this. I love this. I want to enjoy myself with this. Yeah.
I love it. So let's plug your handles and where people can support you and look for your content coming soon with this Cleopatra thing.
Okay. So you can always find me on the Bego Life app. Just download Bego Life from the App Store and just do a search for Taliyah C. That is my Bego ID. T-A-L-I-Y-A-H-C. That's where I do all of my live videos, so you can catch those. Now, I won't tell you a certain time that I'm going to do it because makeup takes a long time. I'm asleep. I'm tired. I got to work a full-time job. I got dogs. Just make sure you follow me. You'll see the invites.
I love that. Okay, so Bego Live, and then any other platforms are we plugging?
I'm also on, anytime I do a makeup look on Bego Live, I always post it on my Instagram, which is Taliyah_Castine. If there are any trans people that are transitioning and need any information as far as transitioning the right way and the things that I went through by doing the wrong thing, go to my website, which is SayNo2SiliconeInjections.org. And you'll see a lot about what I went through and also testimonials from other people who ain't got silicone injections and had health issues and such on.
You know, we have about seven minutes. If you can stick around, we can touch on that topic.
I'm here.
Great. We got more time with Taliyah, you guys. Okay, good. So let's get into that because I posted something recently and I had one of my, a friend kind of reach out and he likes to get the injections and, he's part of the community as well, but he feels like it's fine. And I say to each their own, as long as it's, you know what you're getting into and you're handling your business and it doesn't affect your kids or somebody, that's depending on you and you're not here. But I flat out kind of said, I feel like in the black culture, in the brown, black and brown culture, there's a body dysmorphia issue. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's pressure to look a certain way, but I still support with saying that I still support people feeling good about themselves. What do you have to, how does that translate for you with these injectables and your journey?
I can't knock anybody for doing something to themselves. Dysphoria, bad dysmorphia, it's real. My biggest thing is encouraging people to do it in a way that it won't harm them later on. Did I know that there were risks in getting silicone injections? Yes. But did I realize that I would end up spending over $40,000 to correct it? No. No.
That's a lot of money when you're an entrepreneur.
And fortunately, I was blessed that I didn't have to spend all of it. You know, I was on a TV show on Lifetime Television called My Tender Body with Kay Michelle.
Okay. Yeah. So
to get some of the silicone removed there. I was blessed in another way where another trans woman, and this is that solidarity,
yeah,
paid for me to have my whole face reconstructed to have the silicone taken.
Wow.
So luckily, you know, I'm a firm believer that when a door opens, you to leave that door open for the next woman that wants that opportunity. And I think because of the work that I have done, I have been abundantly blessed. But at the end of the day, when it comes to these injections, think about your long term and not just because of instant beauty. Because
yeah, the instant gratification of...
Gratification is going to get you every time in trouble. It's going to get you every time in trouble. There's grants out there. There's organizations out there funding these surgeries. Yeah. All you have to do is know where to look. You know, I'm also part of the Black Trans Advocacy Coalition. I sit on that board. That organization actually has health scholarships for people to transition so that they don't have to do the same things that I did. I almost died silicone injections.
What was that like, real quick? Not to rush you in that, because I'm sure there was a lot to share. What did that feel like? How did you know something was wrong? And I mean, what can you share in the short time we have left here together?
So for years, believe it or not, my normal body temperature was 102 degrees, and that was without a fever.
Wow.
My body was constantly fighting this foreign substance inside of it. And because my body was constantly fighting this foreign substance inside of me, it was making my body create this fever, but nothing was wrong. It was just, you know, your immune system is fighting back.
Right.
And it got to a point at one time that I couldn't speak anymore. My body was shutting down. I couldn't speak. I could barely walk. I had the hospital ban my mom because I didn't want her to see me like that. I wanted her to remember me differently. And I remember my doctor coming in and saying, hey, do you know how many innings is in a baseball game? And I said, yeah, I played baseball back in the day. He's like, you're on your last inning.
Oh.
You gotta get this silicone out of you.
That got your attention, huh?
It definitely did, because I knew deep down that I was getting ready to check out. But life has a way of turning things around for you. I just ended up winning a settlement like a week after he told me that I was dying, and that paid for the surgery to remove the silicone that was going bad inside of my body.
Wow.
And that day I made a video that went viral talking about my experiences getting the silicone out. That's how Say No to Silicone Injections was even started. But that was back in 2016. It's 2023. I'm still here.
Still here, rocking it and thriving. And your beat today, my girl, is amazing. I look like a whole tomboy that just came from track practice, but that's okay. You're lovely. I just love your energy and your story. And I definitely want you back. We want to go deeper. Thank you for your advocacy. And it seems like whenever you listen to the universe has your back and you're tapped in. And what an encouraging thing. You didn't know how you were going to pay for it. You didn't know what you were doing, but you knew you had to do it.
Right.
And it showed up. Fabulous. You guys, Talia Castain. Did I say it right, Talia? I hope I did. I love it. Please share some photos with us through your people, your PR people. I would love to see them, and maybe we can post in our story when you do your glam. It sounds amazing. Continued success and blessings, and I can't wait to have you back.
No problem. I can't wait to come back.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, you guys, Talia Castain. Amazing. I could see her doing so many glams and makeup for the films and the shows. I know she could do it. She's very, she's strong, you know, and she's got a story to tell, even more so. Thank you for taking time, Talia. All right, next up, is Tamika back?
Yes.
Hello, Tamika. Welcome back to the Startup Girlfriend. It's better to be early. And you were early. All right. Well, wonderful. Why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers and tell us who you are and what your brand is.
Hi, my name is Tamika Thomas, and author of The Sensitive Stone. And my brand is Being Dangerously Compassionate, helping people to become healthily compassionate as opposed to being dangerously compassionate.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. This is an interesting topic. I love your team, by the way. Shout out to your PR team. You know who you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She's great. She always has great clients, and you're one of them. So let's get into this. Yeah, let's get into this concept. All right. So there is a positive way to be supportive in a negative way. Share with us.
I don't even know how I came up with it, to be honest. I would always, I guess, dangerously compassionate, always going above and beyond my mental capacity, emotional, spiritual, physical, financial capacity for everyone. Right. So I didn't take the time to cultivate who I am as a person. So what happened was I ended up losing myself in the process. And so many people do that and they don't realize that there is a level to being compassionate. You have to practice being not only selfless, but also selfish to create that healthy balance.
Self-full.
Yes. Self-preservation, you know, to cultivate your own somebody-ness, and not doing so, you could be subjected to mental breakdowns, withdrawing from life because you're losing yourself completely. You don't know how to say no. You don't know how to take off your superhero cape. All these things are in conjunction with being dangerously compassionate. And I had to learn that the hard way.
What was the hard way for you, if you don't mind sharing?
Completely losing myself. Depression, stress, all these things, because I didn't know myself. I knew everyone else. I knew what everyone liked. I knew what everyone wanted, but I didn't know who I was. And I would just have breakdowns all the time. I would have meltdowns. I had anger issues. I had all these things going on because, and I had no type of control over myself.
What I'm hearing you say, and so I can relate to this a little bit. And what I think I'm hearing you say, and please correct me because I'm no expert on this at all, and you've done the work. It sounds like it starts off, it could be anybody. Take myself, for example. You want to help. You see somebody that needs help. You can do it. And you want to help. And it could be anything from clothes, food. It could be anything from doing a video for them that's going to help their brain, whatever.
Yes.
I can do it. I want to do it. I see the need. Let's go. All right. You're bridging the gap for them.
Yes.
So then you get more invested in what their project is and you start absorbing their energy and it's an energy vampire and your personal boundaries are now all messed up because you want to deliver this for them because you link your value with delivering for people a little bit. Am I?
Absolutely.
Close? Okay. I can relate to that in the past. I'm hoping to fix that.
so you have pretty much done a work. It sounds like maybe you are doing the work. The fact that you even know that, and the fact that you're even on the same level as what I'm talking about, you are probably already doing the work.
Okay, that's good to know. I don't know.
The fact that you're even acknowledging it, you know what I mean? And that's something you can take with you. Acknowledgement is super huge. There's a lot of people don't acknowledge it. They'll say, no, but it's okay to be compassionate. They have no idea that there's a danger zone. There are stop signs. There's red flags to being dangerously compassionate. Usually the signs are if you want to say no and you feel kind of weird about saying no, that in itself is a sign that you're dangerously compassionate. Not being able to say no. Wow. And I don't mean just like, no, I'm not doing it. I mean, just being able to decline an offer to someone.
Feel good about it and not feel away like I didn't step up or.
Yeah, like it's okay to say, it's okay to say I can't. It doesn't matter who it is. I don't care if it's your children, your parents, your siblings, your friends, a boss, you know, anyone. It's okay to say that I can't.
Wow. And also, I don't want to or I'm not interested.
Yes.
Or no, thank you. Right. Because we do want to, as entrepreneurs and people who, you know, who want to get things done and help people. It's like, let me find a way. It's interesting the timing. Right. But you know what? what did Oprah say? I might be misquoting her. Some other people have also quoted this, but if it's not a yes, it's a no.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling something in your stomach, your chest, you're having anxiety, you're sweating, it's not a yes, then it's a no. And I love that you're, this timing on this conversation is kind of insane.
It usually is, right? Divine. It's usually divine.
Yeah. So I'm in my MBA program. I kind of was sharing that at the top of the hour, and anybody that follows my podcast knows that. But the first module, without giving away too much, the professor said, pay attention to what you're paying attention to.
Yeah.
So pay attention to why you're always offering, overextending yourself and helping, right? I mean, I'll let you shut up and let you share.
So there's a root to that, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know about you, but I know I and many people, and I'm probably you, right? When you were younger, you always heard sharing is caring, right?
Oh, yeah.
What if I didn't want to share? Did it mean I didn't care? But as you, when you were a child, you were told sharing is caring, right?
Right.
You were told it's better to give than to receive. Is it really low? Because there's another piece that's missing, right? It's better to give than ever to receive. No, sometimes you can give and feel comfortable receiving. But you aren't told that.
Ah, that's the disconnect.
That's the disconnect. So when we got older, we kept doing, oh, sharing is caring. Sharing is caring. Oh, you know, if you want to, you know, we also have at least syndrome. And what that means is, okay, I might be able to get a higher position in my job, but this person over there, that person really deserved it too. So I'm going to just let them get it because at least I have this position. You know, at least I can pay this bill. At least I can buy this food. So let me just give the clothes off my back because at least I have this. We have to get out of at least mode.
Wow. Yes. I mean, you know, this links up to so many things, right? Because let's just link it right now since we're talking about business. Let's link it to the business mindset, right? Like in the beginning, I had to have a reckoning with myself and be really brutally honest to myself. And I'm brutally honest to myself always. So like by the time you get to me, I've already had that conversation with myself. You can't hurt me. I already know what it's going to be, you know?
Yeah.
And that's my business armor. That's kind of the way I operate. Just be brutally honest about the situation and figure it out.
But
I think somewhere along the line, you have to tell yourself the truth about money, about receiving, and you hit it on the head. All those messages as young children, when we were hearing that of care, you know, and then they say on the plane, you put your mask on first, then you can help others.
Yeah.
But why does it even have to be just that I'm putting my mask on only? Why can't I be putting my mask on, getting my nails done, getting a massage, taking time off, and coming back fully charged and able to do what I need to do?
Yes. Yes. And assessing, because I often tell people to assess their mess, right? And it's acronym. So it's not just your mess. It's literally your mental, emotional, your spiritual space, right? Okay. If you're not assessing your mess, sometimes you could be tired, right? And you not taking a nap, going to sleep, can cause you to be emotionally unwell just because you're tired. You might think it's bigger, way bigger than what it is, right? But it could just be you needed a nap, right? Wow. You're not addressing anything. And also not addressing any of those things could set you up for being psychologically screwed. Someone can tell you something, they can hit on a point, a pain point, and you'll believe it psychologically. So it's not really just mental disarray. It can be psychological disarray. And that sets you up for being with people that's narcissists, that's narcissistic. You won't recognize those signs because you're so busy trying to be, you're so busy being compassionate that you're going above the healthy level now.
Got it. You're what I think I'm hearing you say is you're married to your married to your story in your head about how you're supposed to be and show up. That you've abandoned your own damn self.
Yes.
You function as a person, business owner, mother, father, dad, whatever. And now this person has come and swooned in on you and you've lost psychological. This could be anybody.
Anybody. It doesn't matter who it is.
Wow. What do we do to fix it, Tamika?
What do we do to fix it again? It's practicing being selfless. I mean, and it's not easy to do that, right? So first of all, you're going to start doing little things. I always tell people, number one, start dating yourself.
Oh,
Because this isn't just about a date. So when I'm saying dating yourself, I'm not saying start dating yourself so that way you get involved with like a guy, or if it's a man, a girl, whatever the case may be, you can feel good about yourself. I mean, dating yourself completely. For instance, let's say I may have a friend. I may be close with that friend, and my friend decides that she doesn't want to be bothered with me no more, or he doesn't want to be bothered with me anymore. How does that make you feel, right? It makes you feel like you're a loser, right? Or someone's birthday come along and it feels good getting them a gift, right?
Yeah.
But will it feel that good if you got yourself that same gift for your birthday?
Right.
Like, how do you feel? It feels weird. Some people, it feels weird. But what if you said, wow, I would like this for my birthday, or I would like to go to dinner. Like, this year, I turned 47. What? I literally took myself to a nice little restaurant, had my little wine. And I took myself out on a date. And yes, I wish I had some right now. So I'm going to pretend to have some right now, okay? Because it's always 1 o'clock, right?
It is.
It felt good. I mean, I got dressed up. I got all the way cute. All the way cute.
I know you did.
And it felt good. Yeah, so I have a habit of doing that. I used to take myself to museums. Anything that I would take anyone else to. Anything that I would do something for. I did it for myself so that it can feel good to me. Also, get into the habit of being okay receiving something. Sometimes someone can give it something to you, and us being dangerously compassionate people, it's okay. We feel weird. Get into the habit of saying, thank you.
Don't fall into the trap of like, oh, that's just not my love language. No, you need to learn how to receive, because if you're asking for money and commerce and trust and business, you have to be comfortable with receiving and giving.
Yes. And exactly. And that's what I said. We have to start changing the it's better to give than receive. No, it's just as good to receive.
It's energy just as good.
And like I said, sharing is not always caring. Stop telling yourself sharing. Sometimes we're sharing because we feel guilty about something.
Wow.
Or we're just sharing so that we don't look bad. We're just sharing so we don't look selfish. But it's, you know what? Yes, I'm selfish, and I feel good being selfish. Thank you very much.
Selfful. And I like that you date yourself. I do that too. I bought myself some flowers. I got my candles.
Yes.
I treat myself very well. Tamika, come back on the show when I have more time. Give us your handle. Where can people find you? And if you're doing consultations, where can they find you?
I'm actually just starting to do that. So I'll have to get in contact with you. But I did start a brand. I did get certified as a life coach. So I want to start Dangerously Compassionate Anonymous.
Great.
So I'm starting to put that out there. But I will definitely try to reach back out with you, or you do the same, and I'll give you that information.
You always have a seat at the startup table. Congratulations on this. Thank you for the change you want to see in the world. I love it. Continue success.
Thank you so
much. All right. That's Tamika. All right, Tamika. See you soon. All right. And now we have, is Brendan here? Brendan!
I'm here.
How's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Great. Welcome to the startup. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to have you. Why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers and tell us about your brand?
Sure. My name is Brendan Cawley. I'm calling in today from Westchester, just outside of Philadelphia, PA. I'm the founder and CEO of Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, which is a better-for-you premium meat snack brand that I started about 10 years ago. We're in our 10th year. And that's the gist of the brand.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned it, Brendan. I'm here in my new place, and I have boxes everywhere. I just don't know where the jerky went. Maybe they missed it. Maybe it didn't. I'm just kidding. I'm very excited to try it, though. I mean, tell us about the ingredients for some of us who, you know, lean towards the fish rather than the meat. Tell us what's in your jerky.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the one of the pillars of our brand is we definitely wanted to create a really clean, all natural product. So from the very beginning, we partner with local farms to us here in Philadelphia, and use an all natural pasture raised black Angus beef that doesn't include any, or where the animals don't receive any growth hormones or antibiotics.
Great.
And then all the other ingredients that we use in our marinade are also, natural, clean ingredients that you can pronounce. There's no chemical preservatives or anything in there that you would be worried about, you know, ingesting or feeding your friends, kids, you know, family, things of that nature.
Wonderful. I like that you're doing something, you know, farm to table that is respect for the animal and for the people consuming. Where did you get the name from? Of course, that catches people's attention.
Sure.
What's the background story?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. So I started making beef jerky when I was about 10 or 11 years old. I had an uncle that worked in a steel mill out in Pittsburgh, and he kind of had this little jerky hustle going on at the steel factory where he would make jerky in his basement and sell it to his coworkers. And I was very intrigued by beef jerky. I was consumer beef jerky as a kid. And when he taught me that this could actually be something that you make at home, I was just, you know, kind of beside myself. So I got really into that. My parents bought me a little dehydrator. I started making up batches at home. My friends kind of got involved with that. And we started to bag it up and sell it in our middle school. And it looked, it got pretty popular, and it looked a lot like another all natural substance that was gaining popularity at the school at that point, and getting traded in little baggies. And, we got in trouble. A teacher called us and thought that we were selling weed, and we obviously were able to clear ourselves of those charges. It was, you know, very easy to prove. It was just beef jerky, but that misunderstanding to us kind of remained this inside joke that stuck with us through the years. And anytime we were making jerky for like a snowboarding trip or any sort of road trip, we would always joke amongst ourselves, my friends and I, about, you know, this illicit substance, this underground, you know, jerky trafficking world.
Right.
And fast forward like 15 years or so, we were, you know, out of college at that point, had been working for a few years, and kind of saw what was happening with craft beer. And also the natural and organic food scene, and kind of thought, hey, maybe this is an opportunity to kind of reinvent beef jerky a little bit, because up until that point, it had really been kind of seen as like a junk food or like a truck stop type snack.
Right.
And so we had that, you know, we dusted off the old dehydrator, started making jerky again. And then when we thought about branding and like, you know, how to create something that's interesting, it only made sense to kind of stick with that sort of jerky cartel, underground trafficking type brand that we had already been unknowingly working on for years amongst ourselves. And then, you know, we kind of, as we developed that, the Righteous Felon name, you know, anyone who has seen our packaging, you know, each flavor kind of has a bull kind of dressed up in a lineup and wearing the garb of like a different famous, character with a checkered past, either from pop culture or from, you know, references to some old classic movies, things like that. And so we try to have a lot of fun with the brand and give each flavor its own kind of edgy personality. And our fans and our team have a lot of fun with that storytelling and kind of getting involved with the humor of the brand.
I love it. And, you know, maybe it's its own Homeboy Industries, you know, that's out here in LA that kind of helps the community now and gives the homeboys jobs. You know, you never know where you can take a brand. I love where it started. I love where it's going. We need some here on the West Coast. Yep. We'd love to have you out for the Emmys event. You'll have to talk to your people about it. Where can we order for the holidays? Where can we stocking stuff?
Yeah, it's a great question. So our brand is really highly gifted around the holidays. Our website, righteousfelon.com, is a great place to grab some gift bundles. It's also available on Amazon. It's one of the top rated products on Amazon. And we have all our gift bundles up there for the holidays. And then for folks living on the West Coast, we have plenty of retailers out there. I think Sprouts is rolling out within the next week or so. A lot of the hotels there in LA carry it in their mini bars. And then there's also some natural and independent grocers in the area that most likely, you know, if you're looking for it, you should be able to find it out there.
Wonderful, Brendan. I'm so excited. Congratulations on your distribution and continued growth. Let's talk offline through your people. I have a couple opportunities that I think would be great for this.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This has been great. And I really appreciate the opportunity to share our story.
You're welcome. Continued success.
All right,
everybody. What will you start up today? I will see you next week. The studio will be even better. And, you know, keep going. Keep keeping on. Found Bank, guys. Found Bank. If you need a bank for your startup, Found Bank is the one. Get into it. What will you start up today? I will see you next week. Be well, be safe, and have a good Sunday. Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.